going to take item number 18 out of order because Supervisor Borkowski is in the building and he would like to have the opportunity to comment on this item. And so we are going to take item number 18. Okay. Tom Wanta might need it.
Is he going to get Supervisor Borkowski?
Yes. I'm not sure.
Because he was just saying.
Jennifer,
he actually
do
told
you
me he had to leave for a noon meeting.
Page Supervisor Borkowski.
I had asked him for this right now, but maybe he's going to hang. Is he going to hang around a little bit?
Yeah.
Okay.
He said he had a 1 o'clock, I thought.
Noon, he told me.
Oh, noon? Oh,
yeah.
Okay. All right. Okay. So here's how we're going to do this.
From the Director, Department of Health and Human Services. Requesting authorization to enter into a professional services contract with the Planning Council for Health and Human Services for the Behavioral Health Division.
Okay. Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay.
In December?
No, next month.
Next month, October, yeah. It has to be done by October. We're going to lay the groundwork till October with a retirement to staff. Yeah.
Okay. Is everybody set? All right. Director Lucy?
That's right.
Okay, we have, as you know, been working hard on our activities related to the redesign. We were blessed with $3 million money for community investment last year, and due to sort of the timing of what it takes to do an RFP and get it in, programs that were budgeted for, we're budgeted at full year level. We actually ended up with some money left over because it just took us some time to get those actually implemented. It's approximately $1.1 million left over, thank you. And we would like to, ask permission to move that money to the Planning Council. Our plan for that was to work with the Planning Council to implement the activities that we talked through with our community partners. We've had three meetings with our community partners to determine the priorities. Housing was a major priority, employment was a major priority, and some of the support of the peer specialists was a major priority. So these are the buckets that we put in place, and in this report, the nursing one was a small amount, and that's really because we can leverage that money to additional financing from payment bills and Vernal College. That's one specific thing that we can do in terms of increasing nursing workforce in mental health. We would, however, use the Planning Council, though their name is the Planning Council, this would not be primarily used for work in planning. As we work to move forward with the initiatives in the mental health redesign and public floor. Any proposals would lead to request for proposals on using the county system, establish contracts with the county, and we would establish the DBE and other applicable county roles. I realize that we implied it but did not say in here that we were coming back to the county board with any report about any
different issues.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair.
Okay, thank you. Supervisor Harris?
This is, yeah.
All right. I wanted to have an amendment that for lines, it's actually to add the part where we, again, addressing the issue we had earlier today, this actually will allow us to get a plan in order and be able to get line items how this money will be spent, remainder $3 million from the redesign plan. So, and I would like to move approval.
Okay. All right, so we do have a motion for approval on the amendment. The amendment would bring any spending plan for these funds back before this committee, before the Planning Council entered into agreements with proposed vendors. Is there any comment or question on the amendment? Seeing none, Madam Clerk, please call the roll on the amendment.
Harris.
Aye.
Mayo.
Excused.
Sanfilippo.
Aye.
Bowen.
Aye.
Stamper.
Aye.
Taylor.
Aye.
Madam Chair.
Aye.
6 ayes, 0 noes. The amendment is approved.
Okay. Supervisor Harris, you still have the floor.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would like to move layover at the, what am I trying to, oh, our move layover at the call to refer to staff. Notes aren't right. But anyway, I'm moving layover so that this can be also referred to staff to come next month.
Okay. Supervisor Harris is moving to lay this item over with a referral to staff so that it will be before us in our October cycle. On that referral, Supervisor.
One of the reasons that we brought this in September was so that we would have some opportunities if there were any additional questions or concerns. We didn't bring this in December on purpose. We brought this early. So
yes. Thank you. Supervisor Sanfilippo.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm going to start off first by expressing a concern that Supervisor Borkowski had raised, and unfortunately he had to leave, so he asked me if I would just bring the point up in that. The $3 million, you know, was taken, as we all know, from the EMS money last year in the budget and was allocated. Supervisor Borkowski, who is very involved in the EMS program, you know, as we know, those of us that were on the board last fall, fought very hard to get that restored. The board did restore half of the money by tax levy. And I know I'm not expressing this as colorful as Super Borkowski would do himself, but, you know, he was very adamant at the time that we shouldn't be taking the money out of EMS, that we should gradually take the money down from EMS and not abandon the program altogether. In the end, the board put it in, but the board had to raise tax levy in order to do it. And so now you're coming to us because the $3 million can't all be spent this year. So Supervisor Borkowski's point was we didn't have to do it in the necessarily, you know, not enough thought process was put into last year just plucking $3 million out of a viable program that's been recognized nationally as being a great program, and to take that money from EMS and then throw it into this project. And now it can't even be spent. And so now we're having to jump through hoops. And you want us to approve sending this money to the Planning Council, and then we're going to have to pay them now $75,000 to handle our own money for us. It's just, it's kind of ridiculous. We're just throwing $75,000 out the window. Now that's Supervisor Borkowski's comments. Now on to my comments. I think this exercise that we're doing right here now with this money ties very well into the point I was trying to make in item number 8, in that when you don't have a plan to follow, you don't know what you're doing.
Okay.
So now we have to scramble around to figure out what we're doing with this $1 million because there was no plan. Last year at budget time, we just took $3 million from the EMS, threw it over here, caused a problem with the EMS program, and for what? We can't even spend the entire $3 million now this year. So the why we have to go through this process is because if we don't encumber the money by the end of this year, it falls back to the bottom line. Nobody wants us to see this money fall back to the bottom line when it's intended to go to help services, mental health services in the community. So I agree it needs to be protected so it doesn't go to the bottom line. However, now we're going to give it to the Planning Council and spend $75,000 for them, and it's just poor planning. And that was the point I was trying to make, is we have to have a plan. Now, with this specific proposal, I'm going to support the referral back to committee. And what I think what we're looking for from the staff is to, and again, with more time for the department to consider this, is, number one, is this the best way to spend this remaining $1.1 million? I mean, I have some concerns You know, for example, you have $300,000 dedicated to develop a full-scale community plan for employment. Well, what does that mean? Are we going to spend $300,000 on consultants, or are we actually going to do something with the $300,000? And then the second part of that is employment is very important for this segment of our population, no question. However, people without challenges are unable to find jobs right now. So do we should we really be spending $300,000 on an employment program when jobs are virtually impossible to find, or would we be better off to use that $300,000 on something else now and then do the employment when the economy picks up and there actually are jobs out there to get? And so this is the kind of thought process I think that needs to go in, and this is where we need some input from staff to come back to us with, are there other ways to spend this money wisely? The intent of the $3 million was to go into community support programs, not to be spent on consultants and developing more plans and further studies. And I'm very concerned with, you know, $200,000 paid to Zia Partners to develop a comprehensive peer specialist plan. We haven't seen... You'll get your chance. I won't talk as long this time as last time. You know, so... You know, we need, if it is just an informational issue first, but when you just read this on the surface, it looks like we're going to give Zia $200,000 again. We don't even know what we got for our first $240,000 from them. And so, you know, I just want to make sure that when it comes back to us next month that we know, you know, have a better idea of how these funds are going to be spent so we can earmark them so that they're being used for their intended purpose.
Okay. Okay.
Regarding specifically that issue, Zia Partners is already paid. Maybe I voted wrong, but my intent was for them to work with the peer specialist community and utilize for the $200,000 for the peer specialist to develop the peer specialist activities, not pay Zia Partners. We've already paid them.
So will the $200,000 actually pay for peer specialist positions? The $200,000 is actually going to pay for peer specialist positions?
For an infrastructure for the peer specialists, we need to have a clearinghouse. How do they know where the jobs are? How do they know where the classes are? Working on some reorientation. We know that there's a number of peer specialists that have taken the class to be a peer specialist but haven't taken the exam, and we need to figure out what those barriers are and get them to be certified peer specialists. So there are sort of a bucket, if you will, of peer specialist issues, of which Jan Wilberg is actually the person being assigned to work with them, so it's not paying them anymore. It's to finding the funds available for their work with the peer specialists.
Those are the types of things that can get cleared up when it comes back to us in the layover. And if you can find areas where we can identify services that we can contract with before the end of the year, you know, even if it's with an existing agency we're already using, if we see a need for something, then we can, you know, utilize some of that money, and that'll reduce the fee we're paying to the planning council, number one. Number two, we're not quite sure what the budget's going to be how the county executive is going to present the budget to us for 2013. There may be some holes in that budget that we feel need to be filled in, and maybe some of this $1.1 million needs to be directed to fill some of those services coming in. So it's going to be helpful to see the budget first before we go through here.
Okay. So what we have before us is we have a motion for layover with a referral to county board and BHD staff. What I would appreciate is if county board staff could make an effort to get to each of the committee members, and if they have specific concerns about a program like Supervisor Sanfilippo just pointed out with the employment program, that those be addressed. So we're looking for a more detailed report. In addition to that, I would like for that $75,000 for the planning council, I'd like to see if we could go back to the table and renegotiate that with them and see if they're willing to give us a better deal. And that's just for me, because I do share those concerns as well. The other thing that the report should include is the viabilities of the programs in the plan. So as Supervisor Sanfilippo, and I did state to him yesterday that I did believe that was for peer specialists, so I guess I get a point because sometimes I do pay attention. But I think that's a valid concern. The other thing that I would like for this report to address is the sustainability plan for the programs that this money would create, because this is a one-time payment. So we would love to think that the county executive is going to give us $3 million every year to do this. That's not necessarily the case. We do have the CRS that's in the hopper, but it's nowhere near ready to move on yet. We also have money that we are saving in other areas that possibly we could reinvest. However, we haven't actually achieved any savings yet, and so that's difficult. So we want to make sure that if we're developing programs in order to move people out of the institution and into the community, that we definitely have viable programs that can last year after year and are not programs that are reliant on Milwaukee County to give them $300,000 a year, because we may not be able to commit to that.
Yeah.
Is there anything? And so this would come back before us in the October cycle with a piece of pie. No, I'm just kidding.
Madam Chair, Supervisors, I'll be happy to work with the department to see what we can get for you, and I just ask that supervisors on the committee can make themselves available as soon as possible so that we can discuss any issues that you have, because as you know, once we get the budget on Thursday, staff will be working 100% on looking through that and getting information for you all for your deliberation.
Definitely. And I think some of us may already have those concerns in writing, so they can submit those to you. Anything else? Any other concerns?
Yeah, I just had a quick question. Thank you, Madam Chair. I just had a quick question about the Planning Council. Who are they? Are they county employees? Who are they?
It's a community agency that has a long history with the county, and they've done things like this before the partners in the county. And they, the director is still here. She could give a little update on.
Milwaukee County, just for history, has had numerous relationships with the Planning Council. Most recently, they oversaw the Sports Authority money for us. And so we have had previous relationships with the Planning Council.
I wanted to ask the Planning Council to do this for a couple of reasons. One, because they have had history with us in doing this. Secondly, because they do not provide any direct services. So they themselves would not be a recipient of any of these services, and I thought that brought a great deal of credibility and some firewall to the activity.
Thank you. Chair, my name is Katie Pritchard. I'm the Executive Director of the Planning Council for Health and Human Services. It is indeed an organization that was founded by Milwaukee County in the mid-1960s in cooperation with United Way of Greater Milwaukee. And its goal was really to include voices of those who were affected in plans and in that planning process. We have worked with the county on any number of issues ever since. As Lucy indicated, we don't provide any direct services and are often called upon in this role because of our unusual position. We are very data-driven. And planful and have a strong connection to health and human services, having worked with DHB, having worked with outcome measurement for Milwaukee County for a number of years. We've also worked with parks and with public works. So we do play that role as a neutral convener, neutral facilitator, neutral planner, and fiscal strategy.
Okay, so your background is in like accounting and management?
Actually, as a nonprofit, our background is in more in research, in planning, in convening. We have economists, political scientists, anthropologists, sociologists on the staff. We do a lot in public health. I call them by the stage often to be the convener or facilitator and bring both the expertise, but to recognize the expertise of those who work with them.
Okay.
Providing help.
Okay. Thank you. And just one quick question for us. Do we, when it's time to establish a request for proposal, do we always contract out for request for proposals and requirements in contracts? Or do we have a department that does that?
Do you want to address the RFP process?
Yeah, what's the RFP? Do we always contract out to do our RFPs?
Madam Chair, Supervisors, typically we would run an RFP out of the past, so we have an internal way that we do that, but due to the timing in this situation, for it's a lengthy process that often at a minimum is 2 months. So for us to RFP services and provide services before the end of the year becomes an issue in terms of timing, as Supervisor Sanford will point out. If this money is remaining at the end of the year with the Behavioral Health Division, it could drop to the bottom line, and that's not the goal of the funds. So although this money is committed in 2013 to many of the things we already RFP'd that were clearly stated in the 2012 budget, for 2012, because the RFP process took a while, those services didn't get up and running right away at the beginning of the year, which resulted in a surplus that we're now trying to rededicate to one-time items that is in alignment with this initiative, which is why we're proposing to use the planning council as essentially a support agent so that the funds can be dedicated to what they originally meant for on a one-time basis.
Okay, thanks.
All right, the motion before us is layover. I do have 3 cards from the public. First is Peg Dubord.
Is it all right?
Joel Volkin, Peter Huffel. All right, sure.
I'm Joel Volkin, the CEO of Community Advocates, and I think, as you all know, you got a correspondence from a number of providers within the last few days. And I guess I know it's been a very long meeting, just like to highlight a few things. Number one, thank you for all of your support, as well as the county exec's office, in terms of the extra $3 million that was put in to the budget for 2012. I would beseech you, for those of us who provide direct services, to not allow these dollars to go to the bottom line. There are real needs out there. And I'm sure my 2 colleagues will tell you, but we pull people that have mental health challenges out from under the viaducts, people who have been living on the street for years and years and years. There's a real need for this money. It's unfortunate that DHD took so long to RFP these dollars that we're now in this problem. But we are here, and I just need you to know how real and how serious those needs are. And I know many of you do, all of you do. I just want to just make sure that you know that. I think it's fair to say that the folks that signed on to the correspondence, the mental health service providers, do have some issues with the list of services that are being suggested. I think actually all 3 of us are on the legal task force and really believe, as I think many county staff believe, that was a relatively flawed process by which the redesign arrived at those ideas in terms of what could be funded. We talked to Director Colon and I think he has said to us, and we certainly believe him, that he is, and the staff of, at the county is certainly flexible in terms of coming back to you next month, and also hearing from the folks that actually do the services what actually might make some sense in terms of how to spend this $1.1 million. And then I think my last comment is, please stop funding consultants and start funding services. I don't know how much more I can say that. There are people that are going to freeze this winter that are living under viaducts because we're still doing studies and paying consultants. These dollars have got to get out, and they got to start serving people.
I would just like to add, I'm Peter Hoffman from NAMI Greater Milwaukee, the Executive Director of National Alliance of Medical Illness. We signed on to this letter because we think that there's, you know, $75,000 at stake here that, you know, the Planning Council does wonderful work. It's absolutely nothing, you know, against the work the Planning Council does. They do amazing. But if there is a way to keep that $75,000 to fund community mental health services, and, you know, putting it in a community mental health trust fund, for these dollars could be same process, but you wouldn't need $75,000. Where we could have people coming and getting that money to actually provide direct services to people. At the Crisis Resource Center, when somebody goes into that place and gets good care, you know, now there's a new one, but they don't have a targeted case management slot or community support slot, anywhere they go, they end up back in the, you know, high-end needs. And so if there's a way to save any bit of that money that was in that resolution, any money saved to go into community mental health services, you know, that's what I hope we do. And I think there's a better option than to give it to consultants and losing that $75,000 that could, as we pointed out, could pay for you know, some community slots for support care.
I'm Peg DeBoard, I'm the president CEO of TLS Behavioral Health. I guess one of the things that we agree, all the providers agree, we really don't want the money to go to the bottom line. Obviously, I reiterate that we really need services for people. We operate the Crisis Resource Center. We have many people who come into us, and there's nowhere to refer people to for further services. And so using this money in a way that really benefits the development of more community-based services is really what we are really imploring you to sort of really think about helping to do that. We were taking a task a little bit about the admissions and, at the hospital, so we will say that we maybe use data that was a little bit older for our for the information, but nonetheless, we still have a number of people who use the hospital, a number of people that we're really trying to, the FAST program has been developed, which is a discharge planning process for people exiting the hospital. We all think that's great. It's a great community service. But then what happens when there's no place else, you know, to discharge people to? There's not the services needed. And that's what we're trying to say to you, is that we don't want the money to go to the bottom line. We really want the money to be used for service, increasing community services. And if there's a way to do it vis-a-vis a housing trust fund versus the Planning Council, which we all agree the Planning Council does a great job, you know, it would be, you know, $75,000 is two case managers that could potentially serve, you know, 50 people. So, I mean, that's the way it translates into the work we do on a day-to-day basis. So we appreciate your time and your willingness to listen and understand that we are all in this one together. We might have some advantages, but I think the bottom line is that we need to really figure out what a robust community service delivery system is and start, you know, spending our money towards those ends.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Comments or questions? I think it is worth noting that in the HSRI study, this redesign was a $25 million endeavor. And to date, Milwaukee County is the only one who has contributed money, and that it was the $3 million. So we started $22 million in the hole. And so, you know, we're no means saying that we are going to be the be-all, end-all. The other issue again becomes, yes, we could hand this money out to the different nonprofit organizations that serve and do wonderful work for the mentally ill. What happens then next year to the programs that are created with this one-time money?
Mm-hmm.
And so because it's one-time money and we don't have the additional funds, it does make the planning process that much slower. Because we don't want to discharge people from, you know, the facility and then put them into a program that's funded with one-time money and then next year have people come and say, where are the savings that you were going to use to fund? Well, we don't know where those are. So we do a lot of projections here in Milwaukee County, and I think those supervisors that have been around a while know how those projections sometimes work out. And so it's a catch-22. It's an interesting process.
So thank you. And I could wait for next month for this. I'd like to try to dissuade you of the fact that this is one-time money. Whatever we do in 2013, whether it's case management, mental health patient treatment, will most likely be able to be funded in 2014 by the Medicaid expansion. I think we all know that the governor is going to just to somehow figure out how to contort himself to do the Medicaid expansion, because it just makes sense. But lastly, if that Medicaid expansion doesn't happen for 2014, that gives Milwaukee County BHD a whole year to figure out how to move $1.1 million from the institution into the community. And that's what they should be doing anyway. So I would just push back a little bit against the idea that you know, this can only be one-time money.
And while I don't want to get into a public debate with you, and we love each other dearly, I would say that we are in a presidential election year. We have no idea what the new administration will look like or if there will be a new administration. And so, as we do every year with our budget, we gamble. What is the state going to do? What is the federal government going to do? And a lot of times I'm willing to take those gambles if it's transit, if it's, you know, something. But these are people that, I mean, these are lives. You understand that better than anybody. We're moving people out of institutions where some of them have been for a very long time and moving them into the community. And to take a gamble and to say there'll be a Medicare expansion or even that year. I mean, we made some decisions last cycle in which we ended contracts with people, and we've had to scramble this month to get, you know, to place 40 people, and even to do that, I mean, it's no small feat, and I know that you guys have all been involved in the closing of nursing homes and what do we do with people, and so it's, you know, it's a tricky business when you're talking about actual human beings versus buses or trains or freeways. So we want to just make sure that we're doing it well, but we do appreciate your testimony and always need to see that other side. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right. On item number 18, we are on the question of layover with a referral to county board and BHD staff with a mirage of other details being asked for, and this will return to us in the October cycle. On that motion, Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Harris.
Aye.
Sanfilippo.
Aye.
Bowen.
Aye.
Stamper.
Aye.
Taylor.
Aye.
Madam Chair.
Aye.
Six ayes, zero noes. The motion to lay over is approved. Mm-hmm.